Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Tes, and we are beginning on Tes Amud Aleph, about 8 lines from the top, with the words, Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabba Bar Bar Chana said the name of Yochanan, the following Pasuk he darshan. My decision, what does the Pasuk mean? This is a Pasuk that we have from Mishlei, and the Pasuk says, Yiras Hashem Tosif Yomim. The person has fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then that will add days to his life. However, Ushnos Rishaim Tiktzorna. But the years of people that are bad, their lives will be cut short. What does this pasuk mean? So we dash in each half. Yiras Hashem Tosav Yomim, the first part of the pasuk, this is a reference to people that fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they'll have longer lives. Zeh Mikdosh Rishon. This is a reference to the first base of Mikdosh. Sha'amad Arba Meyos Ve'eser Shonim, that stood for 410 years. The Lo Shim Shubo Ela Shmona Asar, that's the gears that we have. There were only 18 Kohanim Gedolim, Shmona Asar Kohanim Gedolim, during the entire 410 years of the first Beis HaMikdash. Now, there are different opinions over here as to that number 18 and how you calculate that number 18. There's a long Tosos over here, the bottom Tosos. First of all, it starts off and says that the Rivas Girsa, and also you can see in the Tosos Yishon, this is the Rabbeinu Tam's Girsa, that it should be Shmona and not Shmona Asar. They delete the word Asar. And that means that instead of 18 in 410 years, so you have, in fact, only 8 in the 410 years, which again means that they had a great longevity. Each coin, God will serve for a very long period of time. I think it's the Girsa of the Vilna Gaon that says it was 12 years. You can see this in Hagos Hagra. So he says, Lo Shim Shubo Elo Shnei Mosar, there were 12. How you calculate whether it was 8 or 12 or 18 depends on a number of different factors, when you're starting to count from, according to some. And we won't go into that right now. That long Tosos and many of the other Rishonim discuss this in some great detail. The second part of the Pasuk in Mishlei, Ushnos Rishon Tiktzarna, we dash in that as meaning that's a reference to the second base of Migdash. This is the Mikdash Sheni. Now, the second base of Migdash lasted a little bit longer than the first base of Migdash. Shaman Arba Meyosi Esri Mishana. It lasted 420 years, an extra 10 years over the first base of Migdash. And nevertheless, instead of either 8 or 12 or 18 Kohanim Gedolim for that entire span in the first base of Migdash, the second base of Migdash had Vishim Shubo Yosef Mishlosh Meos Kohanim. There were more than 300 Kohanim that were the Kohen Gadol during this 420 year period of time. Now, that in and of itself would be a tremendous figure, but the Gemara even makes the case stronger because there were 4 Kohanim Gedolim that took up, as we'll see, 141 years. So, same him, take away these 4 Kohanim Gedolim. Arboim Shono Shishimish Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik was one of the greatest Kohanim Gedolim of all time, a great figure in Jewish history. We'll learn more about him later in the Masechta with his famous encounter with Alexander. Alexander the Great. Alexander Mukdon. Alexander the Macedonian. So we'll learn more about him and his famous stories. We'll save that delicious story till we get to it in the Masechta. There is a machlokis as to when exactly Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol. The Rambam, and the Akdama to the Rambam, says, and this is also found in the Bar Tanura, that he was the Kohen Gadol right after Ezra HaKohen. Ezra, when he brought back Klal Yisrael at the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, was a Kohen, and there is an opinion that he was the Kohen Gadol first, and Shimon HaTzadik became the Kohen Gadol after him, and served for 40 years. That doesn't jibe so well with the famous story of Alexander, and others suggest that, no, he was actually a descendant of Yehoshadok HaKohen, and that he was the Kohen in the middle of the Bayis Sheni, or towards the middle of the Bayis Sheni, closer to the front of the Bayis Sheni, during the time when Alexander the Great reigned. And that was 40 years. Then you have after him, not directly after him, but the Gemara says the next Kohen Gadol that they're referring to is going to be Shmonim Shishimesh Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Now Yochanan Kohen Gadol was the longest serving Kohen Gadol for 80 years. Unclear exactly who he was. There are many, many, many suggestions that he was Yanei Malka. There were suggestions that he was the father of Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Some say he was the son of Yochanan, although others say that the son of Yochanan was killed at an earlier age. Others say he was a grandson of Matisyo. Whoever he was a great Kohen Gadol, but it says at the end of his life that he turned into a tztuki. So this is a very sad story that he's the one that they refer to in Pirkei Avos when it says, never trust yourself until your last day, because while he was a great Kohen Gadol for 80 years, he unfortunately went off the derech at the end and served the tzedukim. So that's 40 and 80. That's 120 years with just two Kohanim Gedolim. Then you have Eser Sheshimesh Yishmol ben Pabi. Yishmol ben Pabi was a great Kohen Gadol. There are a number of things that we'll talk about him in the Masechta. Some suggest that this is the Pabi was the name of his father, and Kimchis was the name of his mother. Kimchis is famous for having a number of children. She was such a great tzaddikas. A number of her children became Kohanim Gedolim, and they were zolcha to that because it says that even in her house, she never let her hair be uncovered. Her hair was always covered. And the Marsha explains that this Rishmol ben Pabi is the same as this Rishmol ben Kimchis, and others suggest that this is also the same person as Rishmol ben Elisha. In any event, he was a great Kohen Gadol, and he served for 10 years. So we're now up to 130 years. And finally, the fourth one that we're mentioning here, that it was a great Kohen Gadol, V'amalei Achas Esrei, there was 11 years, Shishimesh Rabbi Elozer ben Charsom. So Rabbi Elozer ben Charsom was another great Kohen Gadol, and more later on is going to tell us he was very wealthy, and that he was, in a way, holding all the other rich people accountable for their deeds. Just like we say that Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva were both very wealthy, and so other wealthy people couldn't say, well, listen, we were too busy with our wealth, we could become great Talmidei Chachamim. So too, Rabbi Elozer ben Charsom, where will tell us, Mechayev Esu Ashirim. He was very wealthy, and yet he was Rabbi Elozer ben Charsom, so other rich people couldn't say, well, we were too busy being rich that we couldn't become great people. In any event, some say that the Amrilei that was instead of the 10 years of Rabbi Shmuel ben Pabi substitute the 11 years of Rabbi Elozer ben Charsom, or you can add them together. In any event, even if you add them together, you have 141 years. That means there are only 279 years left for all these 300 plus Kohanim Gedolim to exist. And therefore, the Gemara says, if you have 279 years left, or even if you want to subtract 10 or 11 years, so you're dealing over here with then 290 years at the maximum left. You have the 40, 80, and 10, let's say, only. So you have 290 years left in the Bayi Sheni, so you have more than 300 Kohanim Gedolim. So by definition, everyone served less than 1 year. Kol echad, the echad lo hotzi shnoso. They didn't even serve their entire year. Some suggest that's because they died when they went into the Kodesh Kedoshim on Yom Kippur because they weren't zocha to be the Kohen Gadol. They paid for it and bribed for it, like we said yesterday, and we'll see again right now in a moment. And others suggest, no, that this was the idea that they would take bribes and just select a new person every year. Why take a bribe and let somebody be the Kohen Gadol for 10 years when you could take 10 bribes and let 10 people be the Kohen Gadol for 10 different years? So in any event, they served a very short period of time in the second years. That's what the Pasuk initially means, that the Rishayim, Ushnos Rishayim, Tiktsarna, they'll be cut short. Now, you have the Bach over here that adds an important statement. If you look at that Gosa Bach Os Aleph, he says, we add these words now because we're going to make another statement from Rabbi Yochanan ben Torosa in a moment, and this is a series of statements. Rabbi Yochanan ben Torosa is not a very commonly mentioned Amora, and therefore his statement right now is in addition to the next statement that we'll be making. So reading the Bach, Amar Yochanan ben Torosa, the Kol Kach Lama, why did it occur that they had so many Kohanim Gedolim in the second base of Mikdash? L'fisha yu lochin osa bedomin. Here he states Beferish that they paid for them, they're being Kohen Gadol, they paid for them, they were bribing. And therefore they weren't Zocha, like I said, to be the Kohen Gadol, either died or they just kept on taking more bribes and had more Kohanim Gedolim. The Amar of Asi, because Rav Asi said, Tarkova de Dinre, Tarkova is a trei ukav. It means three kavs, which is a half of a saw, which is a lot of volume of golden coins. The dinre, Aile le Marta Baspai. So she was a very, very wealthy lady, and she paid to this bribe, Liane Malka, that her son should be the Kohen Gadol. Adu ukme Lioshua ben Gamla bekahani Rabavi, that he should become the Kohen Gadol. Now, he in fact was a good person. Yoshua ben Gamla, it says, was a good person. And he was actually deserving to be the Kohen Gadol, but he wasn't the most deserving. That's one of the interpretations that the Gemara will give. And therefore, she bribed to get him placed ahead of the more deserving Kohanim Gedolim. So this was a statement of Yochanan ben Torosa. That's an interesting name that he has, Ben Torosa. So there's a fascinating Psikta de Rabosi that you can see the last Tosus Yishonim on the Daf. He brings down the Psikta de Rabosi, and he explains, before Rishon is Gayer Aide Pora, Ach Shom Kosov Rehuda ben Torosa. There his name was Rav Yehuda and not Rav Yochanan. In any event, that was a fascinating story in the Psikta, where it tells us that there was a poor Jewish person who had this one shor, and he had to unfortunately sell it. It worked then, but he became so poor he needed the money, so he sold it to a certain guy. And the guy was working, was very happy with his shor until Shabbos came, and he took the shor out to go and plow with it. The hapara sirva virovtsa amakoma, and the cow, the shor, refused to go and work and stood still. And the guy gave it a zetz, and it didn't work. So the guy was very upset, and he called to this Yehuda ben Tarasa. That's how the Psikta Rabosi has it. And he says to him, "I want my money back." So the Jew saw what was going on. He whispered into the poor's ears, and he says, "Pora, pora. When you were in my possession, and on Shabbos you were allowed to go and rest because he's not allowed to work his animals on Shabbos. But now, unfortunately, my sins, I had to sell you because of my sins. I became impoverished and I had to sell you. And therefore, I beg of you, please, you're no longer a Jewish cow. And therefore, go and work for this person and plow for him." And immediately, the parah started to plow. The guy was amazed at this. He says, "I don't understand." He said, "Amar lo osi Yisrael, lo kishofim osisi. You didn't do magic over here. Elakach v'kach lakashti." So he thought originally that this Jewish person was maybe doing black magic. So the Jewish person told him no. So this guy said, "Miyad nisyore hagoy." He became in fear. He said, "I don't understand. Uma imparish ein law lo sicha velo das hikires bara." This cow, which doesn't have the ability to talk and doesn't really have das, was able to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So ani, me, she yitzrani yotzri b'dmuso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me in his image, v'nasam v'das, and he gave me wisdom. Any holech u'makir is bari, I shouldn't go and be makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, miyad bovin iskai. And immediately he converted, and he sat and learned, and he became the great Amora, either Rav Yochanan ben Tarasa or Rav Yehuda ben Tarasa. So that is this extra piece of Gemara that the Bach adds, the Tosos Rishonim, based upon the Psikta Rabasi. He gives us a little background why he was called ben Tarasa. In any event, now we understand the next statement, and in fact, some even have the Girsa, Ve Omar Rav Yochanan ben Tarasa, because it's actually a continuation statement over here. That's what the Ritva says. So the Amar Rav Yochanan ben Tarasa, Bibnei Machor v'Shiloh, why was the Mishkan and Shiloh, which stood for 369 years, why was the Mishkan and Shiloh destroyed? So he's going to tell us why the first base of Mishkan, the second base of Mishkan were destroyed right afterwards. So he first asks, why is the Mishkan and Shiloh, chronologically, that came before the Batei Mikdash? So why was the Mishkan and Shiloh, which lasted for 369 years, destroyed? So he explains, Bibnei Shayuba Shnei Dvarim. There were two sins that caused its destruction. Number one, Gilui Arayos, sexual immoralities, and Ubizoyon Kachim, and lack of treating Kodesh Kachim with the proper respect and kavod that you should. Now, Gemara will darshan where he got this from. Where do we see that Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed because of Gilui Arayos? This is a famous story with Eli HaKohen. Eli was an unbelievably great Kohen. He was the Rebbe of Shmuel HaNavi, and he had two sons, Chofni and Pinchas. Now, there are different understandings as to whether Chofni and Pinchas were indeed righteous, but did a mistake, or there is one opinion in the Gemara in Shabbos that says that no, Chofni actually was an adulterer, and Pinchas was not as bad as Chofni. In any event, let's first dash in the Pesukim. It says, the Eli Zochain, Eli HaKohen was very old, he was in his 90s, at the time of the destruction of Mishkan Shiloh, and he died on the same day that both his sons, Chofni and Pinchas, died. So the Eli Zochim owed, Vishoma, Eis Kol Asher Yasun, Bonov, Lucho Yisrael. And he heard what his children, Chofni and Pinchas, did to Kla Yisrael. What did they do? Veis Asher Yishkivun, Esenoshim. They slept with the married women. Hatzovos, Pesach Omoed. They had come to the Pesach Omoed to bring their korbanos. After they gave birth, a woman had to bring certain korbanos. So the Chofni and Pinchas, the sons of Eli, as we'll see, did something to these women that unfortunately was an immoral thing, and that was an aspect of Gilui Arayos, and therefore it's problematic. So Gemara says, Now the Gersa that we have is Afal Gav, even though the Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yochanan, even though Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani said in the name of Yochanan, Kol Omer Bnei Eli Chotu Einu El Atoa. If you really take this pasuk literally and think that it means that they committed adultery, you're making a terrible mistake. Chofni and Pinchas were very good people. On some level, that such tzaddikim are judged b'chut asari, they're judged much more seriously, and therefore it's as if they committed adultery by what the Gemara is now going to tell us on the Omer Beis what they did. So if you say that they're sinners, you're making a mistake. Now, how do you explain this pasuk then? So we'll explain that in a second. That's the gears of you have the Afal Gav. The Ritva says, no, that the gears over here is that this opinion, Upligi, this opinion that we're about to bring down, argues with what Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani said. Our Gemara over here, this Rav Yehuda or Rav Yochanan ben Torasa, says that no, Chofni and Pinchas committed adultery, seemingly in accord with at least the Gemara in Shabbos, which suggests that Chofni did this. But Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani disagrees, and he's saying that, no, anybody that says that Chofni and Pinchas were adulterers is making a mistake. In any event, whoever it was that said this, we turn to the Amud Beis with the words, mitoch, because what did they do that made them look like adulterers? Sheshohu es kineyem miha. They didn't bring with alacrity the korbanos of the yoldos, that the women had to bring certain birds, as part of their tahara process after they gave birth, as the top Rashi tells us, shomivin bimlos yimele dosun, at the end of the period of time they gave birth, they had to become tahar. So they had to bring their bird offerings. So lecho b'kotchim, so they didn't have a choice. But Chofni and Pinchas, Rashi says, v'hem yu bale geos, or bale gaivinabach says, they were arrogant, and they said, we'll take our times, we're busy right now. V'yimus rashlin bach ravosun, they delayed in bringing some of these carbons. Come back tomorrow. And the women waited because they said, we're not allowed to eat karchim until we know that our karbanos have been brought. So they had to delay and not go home to their husbands and stay an extra day. They couldn't go back to the houses. They'd so baleim. And therefore, they cause this discord, if you wish, between the husband and wife. The wives couldn't go back to the husbands and continue to try to fulfill the mitzvah of period of Arivia. And therefore, as a result, it's as if Chofni and Pinchas cause adultery. Whenever you stop a husband and wife from having shalom bayis and being together, so that's a terrible thing. And therefore, they were held accountable as if they committed adultery. And then Yada asks, so that's a reason that the Mishkan Shiloh should be destroyed? Okay, they didn't do something very nice, but is that a reason the Mishkan Shiloh should be destroyed? And he says, a very interesting idea. And he says, Basa Reisha Ozel Gufa, after the head goes the body. In other words, the people saw that Chofni and Pinchas were not treating the Kedusha of a husband and wife with the proper respect. So it led the people, the populace, to go and also not treat Nisuin, marriage, with the proper respect. And it led to committing real adultery in the population. And that's what caused the destruction of Mishkan Shiloh. Very, very important idea. In any event, this Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani said this was Mal Alein. It was said about Chofni and Pinchas, according to this understanding, they didn't really, of course, have adultery. They just did something that was wrong, and that is as if they had adultery. Where do we see the second sin that caused the destruction of Mishkan Shiloh? That was Bizoyon Kachim. So where do we see that? It's also, again, a story with the sons of Eli. The psukim right before this tell us that they were very interested in the gashmias of the korbanos, and they just took meat from various korbanos that people brought. You're supposed to give certain things to the kohen. Shok ha-tremov, ha-chazei ha-tnufa. So these were from a korban shlomim. They were supposed to be given to the kohen. So they just grabbed them. And the pasuk continues, and it says, gan b'terem yaktirin. Even before the sacrificial fats were brought on the Mizbeach. Now the din is that the Kohanim are not allowed to go and take their section before the Beis HaMikdosh, the Mizbeach, gets its section, which was the sacrificial fats from a korban shlomim. So the pasuk says, "Gam b'terem yaktirin es ha-chelev." Even before the chelev, the sacrificial fats was actually brought, their servant came, Ubo Nara Kohen, the servant of Chofni and Pinchas came, v'amar le'ish hazoveach, and told the person bringing the korban, "Give us the meat." Tono abosul litzlos la Kohen, give us the meat so we can give it to the Kohen to go and roast it. V'lo yikach mimcha basa mivushal kimcha. We don't want to wait till you cook it and then we take the part we want it right now. And they took more than they were entitled to, and they took it in the wrong time. And therefore, Vayomer Elav Oish, so the person would object, and he would say, listen, Kater Yaktirun Kayom HaChelev, first let me bring the Chelev, the sacrificial fats, like I'm Mechoyev to, and then, B'kach L'chok Kasher Ta'avin HaShach, then take whatever you want, but let me do the mitzvah properly. But the Amar, this servant of Chofni Pinchas said, lo, we have the gears here with a vav, but it really should be with an aleph, because he was saying, no, ki ato titein, you better give it to me, and if not, v'im lo, lakachti b'chazaka, I will go and take it with might, I'll take it, you know, against your will. And the pasuk ends, v'atihi chatas ha'na'orim gedolim od espnei Hashem. This sin that the Chofni and Pinchas orchestrated over here through their servant of taking of the carbon meat before it was supposed to angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu very much. It was a very great sin in the eyes of Hashem. Ki niyatsu ha'anishim eis minchas Hashem. Because it basically was saying that this was not important as a carbon. This was just a pure gashmius thing. Give me some meat. And that angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that led to the death of both Chofni and Pinchas and the destruction of Mishkan Shiloh. Now, Rav Yochanan or Rav Yehuda ben Tarsa continues, and he says, Mikdash Rishon mipnei macharav. We just brought down why Shiloh was destroyed, so why was the first base of Mikdash Nebuch destroyed? Mipnei shlosh advarim shayuba. There were three things. This is the famous statement, the three cardinal sins, because of Avodah Zarah, Gil HaRayis, and Shlichas Domim, because of worshipping idols, because of sexual moralities, and because of killing. The base of Mikdash was destroyed, the first base of Mikdash. Where do we see this? Avodah Zarah, Tichsib, because the Pasuk tells us, Ki kotzar hamatzah, Mehistoreya. Now, the Bach adds the rest of the Pasuk, V'amasecha tzora kiskanes, but one could argue that, no, we're going to get to that in a moment. First, we're darshaning the first part of the Pasuk, and then we'll say later on the second part of the Pasuk. Either way, whether you say the rest of the Pasuk or not, we're darshaning now the first part of the Pasuk. What does it mean that the matzah, is like a seat or a couch was too short, mehistoreya. So Rashi tells us the word mehistoreya is a nutricone. It's a mnemonic over here for mehistorer reya echad, that this bed or this couch over here is too short for one person to share with another person. It's only enough for one person. And therefore, kotzar hamatzah mehistoreya. You can't have somebody else in the same bed over here. What does that mean? My kotzar hamatzah mehistoreya. So we darish in this. Amar Rabbi Yonason. Rabbi Yonason says kotzar matzah zeh mehistorer lov shnei reyim kiyachod. This seat over here, in other words, the base hamikdash, is not capable of having two people in it. It can't have a Kodesh Baruch Hu and Rachmon Uslan, the idol of Menashe. Menashe was the longest reigning king of Malchus. Yehuda of the Malchus of the Beis HaMikdash, and he was the king for 55 years, and he brought an idol into the Beis HaMikdash, and that angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're putting an idol in here with me, and therefore, that's what the pasuk means, that there's no room in the Beis HaMikdash on this couch for two people. In other words, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Kabihocho, this idol. And therefore, that's why the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That is the Avodah Zarah. The second part of the pasuk is now v'amasecha tzora kiskanes. So what does that mean? That the cover, masecha is a cover, but we'll see it means avodah zara is also too small, too short, too narrow over here for a person to lie down in it. Now this is darshan homiletically as follows. Amr Shmuel ben Achmeni. Shmuel ben Achmeni said over here as well. Ki moti Rabbi Yonason lahaykra. When Rabbi Yonason came to this pasuk, he began to cry. Bachi, and he said, Omar. Man dirsivbe, what does the pasuk say elsewhere about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Kones kaned mehayom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one that gathers in over here the waves of the ocean. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all powerful. He controls the oceans. He gathers in the waves of the sea. And nevertheless, it says about him, that's the word kones, that's the end of that pasuk, nasilo masecha tzara. And this matzecha is like a tzara to him. A tzara is a wife when there's another wife, so they're tzaras to each other, right? So we have this in the first Mishnah in Yevamos, the tzaros. And it's aptly named because two wives living together is not going to be a great thing. They're going to constantly be jockeying for curring favor with the husband and trying to put the other one down the stomach to elevate themselves. So that's why they're called tzaros to each other. They cause difficulty for each other. So that's why the pasuk over here says that hamasecha tzora kiskanes. So this masecha is a reference to the avodah zarah, is making difficulties, tzara kis kanes, to the one that is kones kaned mehayam. So therefore, that's the end of the pasuk, and that shows that there was this concept of avodah zara present as this one of the reasons for the destruction of the first base of Mikdash. The next one was Gilui Aroyos. Where do we see allusion to that? So here we quote a pasuk from Yeshaya, where it says, Dirsiv, Vayom Rashem, who said, Yan ki govu binos tzion, because the women of Klai Yisrael were walking about in a very arrogant way. Vatelachna nituyos goram. They went out with their necks being stretched out in a very arrogant posture. Vatelachna nituyos goram. And they also went umesakros enoim. They put on a lot of makeup. Literally, it means that they looked all over the place. And holoch vatof telachna. They walked back and forth. In other words, they wanted to make sure that they were seen. And uvaragleim teakasna. And with their feet, they caused sorts of poison to come out. The Gemara will now darshan each of these four things. So it says at the beginning, yain ki gavu b'nosion. They were very, very arrogant. What does that mean? Shirma halchos arucha b'tzad kitzara. The taller one would walk with a shorter woman, and that would accent her good looks more. So they would bedavka make sure that they showed themselves off in a very positive way to attract attention, and Rachmona Luslan attract Gilia Rice. It says Vatelachnu Nituyos Goron, they walked over here with a very arrogant posture with their heads held very up high. Shayo Mahalchos become a gufa. They walked in a very, very straight position, in other words, to attract attention. Umisakros inoyim, they looked all over the place. So I darshan this already, Doyu Molyan Kuchloy Nam, they put on a lot of makeup in order to make themselves very attractive. They walked back and forth. They walked around in this trying to make themselves look good fashion. What does this mean? That they take very small steps. So their heel of their foot would only go up to the point where the toes of the next foot were. So they took these very small steps, which again is a more of a sexually attractive type of a walk. And finally, what does that mean? They would, with their feet, somehow cause this poison to come out. So Rav Yitzchak explains, Shemivios mor v'afar simon, they would take these beautiful aromatic substances like myrrh, and afar simon is translated as balsam, manichos b'nalem, they would put these little containers into their feet, and they would not break them, and then ushami magios etzel b'chur Yisrael, and they would reach the young men who they were trying to attract, boatos, they would smash down on them, the little bottles would break my stomach, and they would give off their aroma. Umatizos aleim, and it would spray this very aromatic perfume all over the place and make the men get excited. Umachnisim bem yetzahara, would attract them. Their yetzahara would get the better of them. Ki eres b'chaus. They would be like the venom from a snake, and it would nebuch cause the young men to do immoral things with them. So that's where we see the Gilui Arayis is prevalent nebuch in the first base of Migdush and caused the destruction of the first base of Migdush. The third and final one of the three cardinal sins is Shvichus Domim. They murdered, they killed people. Dechsev. Here we have the pasuk that is being darshan from Melachim Beis, and it says, "V'gam damanoki shofach menashe." This wicked king Menashe who put the tzelim in the heichal, so he also went and killed many people. Harbe ma'od. We had that's the pasuk. Ad asher midle es Yerushalayim peh lepeh. Until so much blood was there that it went from one end. Peh means an end, really. Lepeh, from one end to the other end. Now the Hagos Habak here says that the next words are out of order. I'll read them in the order that we have them over here, but I'll point out where the next, where the Bach says the next piece of Gemara should now be. The two next sentences are inverted. In any event, we'll read our Gemara, and I'll point it out when we get to the next part, which is supposed to be here according to the Bach, because we're talking about the Bais Rishon, and now we're jumping to the Bais Sheni, but then we're going to go back to the Bais Rishon, so the Bach says that part that we're talking about the Bais Rishon should be inserted over here. In any event, the Girsa that we have in our Gemara is now the third statement of Rav Yochanan, or Rav Yehuda ben Torsa said. Now we're talking about the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash Nebuch. Abel Mikdash Sheni, Shoye Oskim B'Torah V'Mitzvah, Skemilas Chasadim. Beis HaMikdash Sheni, they didn't seem to have these same sins, the three cardinal sins. And in fact, they were learning lots of Torah, and they did lots of mitzvahs, and they did lots of Skemilas Chasadim. B'Pnei Ma'achorav. So how come the second Beis HaMikdash was Nebuch destroyed? So Rav Yochanan ben Torsa says, this is the famous Sinas Chinam, the famous Kamtzah or Kamtzah Gemara in Gittin that we learn on Nebuch Tisha B'Av. That was the Sina Kwanan. This was the paradigm of the sins of the second Beis HaMikdash, that people weren't nice to each other. They had Sinas Chinam towards fellow Jews instead of Avas Chinam. And this teaches us, Lam Nelcha, to teach us that Sinas Chinam is as bad as all three cardinal sins. Sheshkula Sinas Chinam Kineged Sholosh Averos. The terrible sin of Sinas Chinam is equal in weight to the three cardinal sins. These three horrible sins that caused the destruction of the first base of Midrash Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayis, and Shvichus Domim. So therefore, Sinas Chinam is Kineged all of them. Now here we now have a return to the first Beis HaMikdash, and that's why the Bach says this statement should have gone over there where I just said, Rishayim Hayu El Shatalu Bitchonim BaKadosh Baruch Hu. This goes back to the first Beis HaMikdash and says, how come it lasted for 410 years if they were such Rishayim? They did these horrible sins of Avodah Zarah, Gila Raisa, Shvichas Dam. So Gemara says, Asan LeMikdash Rishon, the first Beis HaMikdash, it says, Dechsev, the Pasuk in Micha tells us, Rosheha Bishochad, that the leaders took shochad yishpotu in order to judge, and the kohanel, the kohanim b'mechir yoru, they took money also to go and do their work to give judgments. The kohanim were often judges as well. They were only working 1 week out of every 24, and even then, 1 day out of every 6. So they had plenty of time, and they were the people sitting in kolel, and they were the judges. They did all sorts of other klei kodesh for klai yisrael. And the Nevi'im, Bekesef, Yiksomu, and the Nevi'im only gave their Nevu'ah if you paid them. In other words, the people were very, very bad. Baal Hashem, Yisha'enu. However, they did trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lemar, Halo Hashem, Bekir Ba'enu. Lo Savo Aleinu Ra. Even though we're doing all these horrible things, we trust in Hashem. And therefore, if we trust in Hashem, nothing will happen to us. And this trust in Hashem, Lefikach, Hevi Aleinu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shalosh Gezeros. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished them with 3 Gezeros. That they were punished because of the 3 cardinal sins that they had in their hands. Shenemar, Lochain, Biglalchem, Tzion, Sodati Choresh. They were punished that HaKadosh Baruch Hu plowed Tzion under. Yerushalayim, Ian, Tia. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Yerushalayim become destroyed. The Harabayis, Labamus Yar. And the Harabayis was turned also into a forest. So their sins were delayed for being punished because they trusted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, that's what the Pasuk means. Rishayim hayu ela shetalu b'tchonim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, based upon this Pasuk that we have over here from Micha. In any event, will the Mikdash Rishon lo have a besinas chinam? So you seem to imply that it was only in the second Beis HaMikdash there was sinas chinam. In the first Beis HaMikdash there was no sinas chinam. I'll show you that that's not true. We have another Pasuk, which we bring down from Yecheskel, where it said, v'oksiv, megure el cherev hayu asami. That means the nation of Klai Yisrael, they were hitting themselves, l'chein sefok el yarech, they clapped themselves on their thighs because they were afraid of this sword, el cherev hayu asami. What in the world does this pasuk mean? V'amar Rebbe Elazar, that's the Girsa that we have instead of Rebbe Eliezer. El bnei adam sh'ochle v'shoshim zem zeh. These are people that would eat and drink with each other, seemingly friendly. However, v'dokrin zeh zeh b'charovos sh'bolshonam. But they would be attacking each other. On the surface, they seem friendly, but they would say terrible things about each other. Sinas chinam. And therefore, how can you tell me that they didn't have sinas chinam in the first Beis HaMikdash, only in the second Beis HaMikdash? The pasuk in Yecheskel clearly says they had it in the first Beis HaMikdash as well. So the Gemara says, no. Hahi b'nisiyei Yisrael havai. That was only talking about the leaders of Klai Yisrael. The Hamon Am, the general population, was very nice to each other. And it was only the Nisiyim that had the Sinas Chinam. But the most people, the general population, did not have Sinas Chinam. Tichsiv, because the Pasuk continues and it says, Za'ak v'hilel ben Adam, ki hoysov ami. So cry out. Ben Adam is obviously a reference to Yecheskel. It was my nation, Hoysaba Ami, it was the Nisim. The end of the Pasuk tells us it's the Nisim. The end of the Pasuk is a critical part. It's not mentioned here. That happens all the time in the Gemara. Ki Hoysaba Ami, he, Bechol Nisiyei Yisrael. And then it goes to the Pasuk of the Megure El Cherem. That's the end of the Pasuk, which we dashed in before. So it's talking here about the Nisiyei Yisrael. The Tanya, and we learn in the Braisa, Zaak V'Hilo Ben Adam, I might think that it goes upon everybody, Talmud Omer. Now we bring down the end of the Pasuk, he b'chol Nisiyei Yisrael. So therefore, it wasn't all of Klai Yisrael, it was only Nisiyim, and therefore, that's not included in the sins that caused the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Now we contrast the first Beis HaMikdash with the second Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, Dami Tavayu, both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar said the following statement. Rishonim, in the first Beis HaMikdash, shenizgala avonom, nizgala kitzom. Their sins were open. They didn't hide their sins. That's the way Rashi understands this. Lohu mechasin pishayim. So therefore, their sins were open. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed nizgala kitzom. He revealed how long the galus would be. He said it would be 70 years. This is analogous to the difference between a ganav and a gazlan. A gazlan is a person who's not afraid of
HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's stealing, but he's also not afraid of man. He's a strong-armed person. He said, I'm not afraid of you, I'm not afraid of God, this is what I want to do. So in a way, that's less chutzpahdik than the ganav, who does things surreptitiously, he hides at night, he's afraid of the police. He's not afraid of God, but he's afraid of the police, that's worse. So too, in the first Beis HaMikdash, they, so to say, were not afraid of anybody else. They did their sins openly. They didn't try to hide their sins. They said, this is who we are. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed their kates. However, Acharonim, the second Beis HaMikdash, they tried to make themselves into tzaddikim, but they did all of this terrible sin aschinam behind closed doors, so to say. So Acharonim, Shalon is Galavonim. So they didn't try to reveal their sins. They tried to keep their sins hush-hush, so Lon is Galakitzim. So Kosh Baruch Hu did not declare how long this Galus that we still Nebuchadnezzar in right now is going to last. So that's what Rav Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar said. Rav Yochanan said further, Tova Tziporna shall be shown him. The nails of the earlier people are better than Mikreso shall achronim, than the stomach of the later ones. In other words, the nails, which are insignificant of the earlier ones, are better than the stomachs, which represents the a better part of the body of the later ones. What does this mean? So I'm a really Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish said, Adirab, I would say the other way around. Achronim adifi, I would say that the people in the later generations were actually better, because Afogad Ikur, Shibud Malchios, Koski Vitorah, because even though they were under tremendous persecution from the Goyim, nevertheless they learned Torah. It says that they learned a lot of Torah in the second base of Mikdash. So therefore, I would think that they're higher. Rav Yochanan tells him, no, that's the wrong approach. Amalei, Bira Tochiach. He said, look and see, look at the Bira. The Bira is a representation of the Beis HaMikdash. Is the Beis HaMikdash returned to the Bayis Rishon? Yeah, there was a Bayis Sheni. But has the Beis HaMikdash yet been returned to the destruction of the Bayis Sheni? No. And therefore, Shechazur L'Rishon V'Lechazur L'Achronim. The Beis HaMikdash Nebuch is still not rebuilt in the times of today, and certainly not in the times of Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish, who lived after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, that's the proof that the people in the first Beis HaMikdash were better. The Tziporin of the Rishonim is better than the Kreis of Shalachronim. Alternatively, Shalos Rabbi Elazar, the Yes Rabbi Elazar, Rishonim Gdolim or Achronim Gdolim. Who is greater, the people in the first Beis HaMikdash, people in the second Beis HaMikdash? So Elazar responded, Amar lahem, Tenu Einechem Babira. Well, answer the question yourself. Look at the Beis HaMikdash. There was a return of the Beis HaMikdash, so the first Beis HaMikdash destruction could not have been as bad as the second people living in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, because Nebuch, the Bira, has not returned. Alternatively, Ika di Amre, Amalehem, the Reloza responded to the people last time, Rishonim Gedolim, Achronim Gedolim, and he said, Amalehem, Eidechem Bira, the Eidim, the witnesses over here, are the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash returned, the second Beis HaMikdash returned. That gives testimony that the people in the first Beis HaMikdash were not as bad. The second Beis HaMikdash, Nebuch is destroyed, it hasn't yet been returned, B'mehru B'meinu, should be rebuilt. So that gives testimony that the people in the second Beis HaMikdash were worse. Now we have a story about Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish was once swimming. Rish Lakish habisachi b'yardein. He was once swimming in the Yarden. That's the Girsa that we have, that it was Rish Lakish. We'll see in a moment an alternative version. And along comes also Rabba Bar Barchana, and he saw that Rish Lakish was trying to get up and leave the water. So he wanted to give him a helping hand. So Yav LeYada, he gave him a hand to help him come out of the water. However, Amalei, Rish Lakish said to Rabba Bar Barchana, Eloko Sanein Lechu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like you. What does it mean he doesn't like you? It means people like you. Lechol B'nei Bavel. Rabba Bar Barchana came to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel, and Rish Lakish is telling him that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy with the people in Bavel. Eloko Sanein Lechu, God hates you people who come from Bavel. Why is that? Because the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, Delsiv, Im Chomahi, Nivne Ola Tiras Kesef, it will be a wall, so we'll put on it a certain type of atara, a Tiras Kesef, a silver crown. Vim Delasi, and if it's a door, Notzor Ola Luach Eres, we'll put on it a certain type of Luach Eres, a piece of wood of Eres. Now, what does this mean? So, Im Asisem Asuchem Kechoma, if you, Klai Yisrael, had made yourself like a Choma, so then, and all of you would come up in the Bayis Sheni. What came up with Ezra was only a very small number of people, more than 40,000 people. 42,360 people came up, the Pasuk tells us, during the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. The vast majority of people liked it in Golus Bavel. The life was good there, relatively good, and they didn't want to come up. So this Pasuk is telling us, if you had come back up altogether like a choma, and everybody had come back up, so then shaltim kekesef, I would have made you like silver. Shein rekev sholepa, that there is no rust or decay that can go on silver. Silver might tarnish, but it doesn't get ruined. Achshav shalisim kidlosim, but only a small percentage of you came up, only the doors came up, not the whole wall. So then nimshaltim ke'eris, that you are like cedar wood, sharekev sholepa, which could of course disintegrate and decay. What does it mean, Erez? My Erez? So Amar Ula, Sasmagar. What is this Sasmagar? It's a certain type of wood, Rashi tells us. This Sasmagar, the Bach adds the words, Shasam, Mechasoso, Umegaro, Mibifnim. And Sasmagar is Shem Tolas, that is this poison from this insect that's inside the wood that rots and decays the wood from the inside. Murray asks, what's the significance, my sasmagor, what's the significance of this sasmagor that's inside this wood? What does that represent? So I'm Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba says it represents baskol. What does it mean, a baskol? So a baskol is not nevuah itself. It's like a shiari nevuah. It's certainly something that's very holy, but it's not nevuah. Kidatanya. We learned in the Braisa, Mishamesu Nevi'im Achronim, when the last Nevi'im never taken away from the world, Chagai Zechariah Malachi. So when these great Nevi'im stop prophesizing, Nistalka Ruach HaKosh, Israel, the ability to have nevuah was taken from us. There still was a remnant of nevuah known as baskol that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would sometimes speak out with this baskol, a voice from Shemayim telling us what to do. There's a very interesting story in the Gemara that we're going to have later on telling us what spurred HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take away nevuah from the world, and that's when he took away the desire for Avodah Zarah. So to keep things equal, so to say, you need to have Bechira Chofshi. So if you have a Navi and you don't have this tremendous desire to do Avodah Zarah, so then it's no big deal to be an Erlich Yid. So therefore, God always has to keep things on an equal playing field. So if he took away nevuah because he took away the desire for Avodah Zarah, so the parallel, he had to take away nevuah in order to make it a fair playing field, an even playing field. Now the Gemara questions the story that we just said, that Reish Lakish and Rabbah Bar Barchana had a conversation. The Gemara questions this. Reish Lakish, Mimi Shtoi, Bahadei, Rabbah Bar Barchana. Reish Lakish was famous for not speaking with anybody in public, even great people, because anybody that spoke to Reish Lakish would automatically be assumed to be a trustworthy person. And Reish Lakish wasn't sure sometimes who he was speaking with, and therefore, even if he knew the person to be a trustworthy person, but he sometimes didn't know other people, so he just had a rule, I don't speak to people in public. With very, very rare exceptions. So how could it be that Reish Lakish spoke with Rabbah Bar Barchana, who certainly was a great person, but Reish Lakish had a position, he had a personal practice that he didn't speak to other people. Uma Rebbe, again, the Girsa we have is Rebbe Eliezer, but it should be Rebbe Lazar. Demar the Ari Yisrael, he was one of the leading Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael. Hava. Below Hava Mishtoi, Reish Lakish, Badei. And nevertheless, even Reish Lakish wouldn't talk to, even to him. So how can you tell me? He was greater than Rabbah Bar Barchana. So demand the Mishtoi Reish Lakish Bahadei Bashuk, because if anybody spoke to Reish Lakish in the Shuk, Yavule Isko Belo Sade, that person was considered so trustworthy, you could deposit with him anything you want. You would give him business without taking any collateral, without any witnesses, because that's how careful Reish Lakish was not to speak to anybody. So Bahadei Rabbah Bar Barchana Mishtoi, if he wouldn't speak to Rabbi Elazar, would he speak to Rabbah Bar Barchana? So you have to question the names in this story. So Gemara says, you're right, Amar Papa, Shtei Gavra Benayu. You have to put somebody else in there in this story. Either take out Reish Lakish, oh, Reish Lakish, Hava, or Ze'iri. It was Reish Lakish talking to Ze'iri. Now Ze'iri was a person that was so mefursam as being a trustworthy person that even Reish Lakish would speak to him. Or remove Reish Lakish from the story, and it was, oh, Rabbah Bar Barchana, Haba, Rabbi Elazar. Rabbah Bar Barchana gave his hand to Rabbi Elazar, and therefore Rabbi Elazar didn't have this practice, and therefore no problem to speak with Rabbah Bar Barchana. Gemara says, he also came with Rabbi Yochanan. However, when this explanation of Reish Lakish, that because Klal Yisrael didn't come up in a large number, like a Choma, at the time of the beginning of Bayis Sheni, they only came up like a door, that was the reason why the Shechina was not so prevalent in the Bayis Sheni. So Rabbi Yochanan didn't like that reason. So in that reason, Kiyosel Kamei Rabbi Yochanan Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan said, Lav Hainu Taima. That's not the reasoning. Inami Sliku Kulu Bimei Ezra. Even if every single person had come up from Galus Bavel at the beginning of the Bayis Sheni and had come up with Ezra, Lo Havashayu Shechina B'Mikdash Sheni. The Shechina's presence would not have been the same in the Beis HaMikdash. Why is that? Because the Pasuk says, Dichsiv, in the beginning of Bereishis, Yavta Elokim Liyefes, V'yishkom Bal Hashem, while HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a certain level of yofa, of beauty to Yefes, nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only stays in Al Hashem. And we dash in this as follows, Afogav the Yavta Elokim Liyefes, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a certain beauty to Yefes, but they can't have anything to do with the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And the time of Bayis Sheni, so they did participate in the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, Ein Hashchina Shorah El Baal Hashem, since it wasn't purely made by the descendants of Shem, it was made with, in addition, with the Persians who lived at that time. They helped build the Beis HaMikdash. You have all the kings of the Persian dynasty, Daryavesh, who some say was Esther's son, Koresh, they all helped to build the second Beis HaMikdash, so therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence will not be there the same way it was, like in the first Beis HaMikdash that was built totally by Shlomo HaMelech and by the Jewish people, the B'nai Shem. With this, we conclude today's shiur.